Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the good news. I have seen the Lord. Every so often you'll hear little shrieks out there as they find the legs. But they're not the real thing. They're rubber ones. But when they find one, it'll be exchanged for the real thing a bit later on. As I said earlier, we hope there's enough eggs out there. I'm sure there are. Sometimes the realization of what God has done takes a while to sink in. And certainly that was true for the early disciples. And all through Holy Week, we've kind of had this question in the background, which Jesus asked during his Last Supper. Do you understand what I have done for you? I think it was a question behind his death as well on the cross. They weren't sure what that was about. And even today, we read in chapter 20, now verse 9, we see that after Peter and John finally reached it to the tomb, it said they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. It's kind of one of those things that Jesus had spoken about, but they hadn't grasped and they hadn't understood. And it seems to me that's one of the things that we have to try and grapple with today. That the awfulness of Holy Week has been superseded by the hope of the resurrection. But what we need to do is ask ourselves the question, do we understand what that means for us today? What it means for us today, of course, is that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Because it's great news. It's the most wonderful news. But what does it mean for us today? What does it mean for us? What it means, first of all, is that Jesus, of course, is still alive. We know that after his death and his resurrection, he was seen by many of his disciples. And at one time, just on one occasion alone, 500 met with him. So the evidence of his resurrection is there in Scripture. And indeed, some of the older historians around at that time, people like Josephus, were writing about the one who is dead but was seen afterwards, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So there's kind of, there's factual evidence around about it. But what we need to do, as Peter needs to do, is to allow the truth of that and the importance of that to sink into our hearts and into our minds so that we can see what it means for us today. Much later, I think probably when the day of Pentecost arrived and the Spirit began to touch the disciples, all of these experiences that the disciples had with Jesus when he was on earth, actually they began to understand it, because the Holy Spirit began to reveal to them the importance of the cross and the resurrection. And we can't have one without the other. There had to be a death. But it was with a love that was stronger than death that death was defeated, because God himself in Jesus Christ came to defeat death on the cross, which is exactly what we thought about on Good Friday just a couple of days ago. And at that point, when Jesus said it was finished, it is finished, what he was intimating here was that the battle with Satan was over, but also actually what God could do in us as individuals, as human beings, could transform our lives, because God would be in us and transforming us from within and giving us new life, which is why the children today are looking for Easter eggs, because it represents new life and new beginnings. Our faith in Christ is about a new beginning, a new hope, a new direction, and a new purpose for our lives. And we need to embrace this with every fibre of our being and try to understand it for ourselves. We did not have the privilege of being there on that first Easter morning, if privilege it was, because they were obviously grieving. And they'd come to do a wonderful thing, which was to embalm the body of Christ. But actually, of course, he had gone. And then we hear the story of Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved running towards the tomb. And eventually Peter gets there first, and he arrived and went into the tomb and saw just the strips of linen cloth lying there. That's all that was left. I think there's something extremely symbolic about all of that, really. That when we place our faith and trust in the risen Lord Jesus, and when we invite him into our lives, that's when things begin to change. And for us, there was a big cheer out then. They found an Easter egg. Hallelujah, he is risen. He's risen indeed, hallelujah. When they came into the tomb and there were just strips of cloth there, I think it represented everything about death that had been defeated. That's all that was left, because Jesus had been raised and was seen. And what we need to do is to allow God to work on us in such a way that the things within us that need to die should die and are represented by those strips of cloth. They're left behind. We don't need to go back there and fish any longer, because God has given us a new start, a fresh beginning, a fresh hope. He's offered not just eternal life, but actually the forgiveness of sins. So we have a new start each and every day with Christ. A new beginning, a new hope. That's what eternal life is all about. And eternal life is actually about this, believing in the one that God has sent. And he sent Jesus Christ. So when we embrace him and receive him for ourselves, we are embracing eternal life. Because eternal life is about the person of Jesus. So eternal life isn't just about waiting for that day when we die and hoping things will be sorted out then. Things are sorted out this side of the grave. And actually, more than that, we are redeemed. We are bought back with the blood of Christ so that we can be with him forever. Our eternity doesn't begin at the point of our death, physical death. It begins at the point of our spiritual birth. So that's a really important thing. And as such, there is no time in our lives when we are separated from the love of God, ever. Not life, not death, not principalities, not powers. Nothing at all can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is the greatest hope that we have as human beings, and most specifically as Christians. And that's why in the first century, I think, and subsequently even to this day, people were willing to give their lives for what they believed to be true about Jesus. So in the book of Acts you read about Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and subsequently many martyrs, including Peter himself, who would be crucified, as legend and tradition has it, upside down. But the reason they could do this with such certainty and go to their death was because they knew that in him they were alive now, eternally, forevermore. And so that was the great, and is the great, Christian hope. With a love stronger than death, death was defeated by Jesus on the cross. Have you received him for yourself? That's the biggest question that we have to ask ourselves each and every day. Are we allowing him to have sway in our lives and to build us up and to make us what he wants us to be? Are we allowing him to be with us day in and day out? And are we like Mary, one who goes around saying, I have seen the Lord? With the eyes of faith, I have seen the Lord. With the eyes of faith, hopefully you have seen the Lord or would like to see the Lord. Ask him today and you will see him and you will know what it is to be with the Lord forever. This is the greatest news, of course, that we have as Christians, and part of the privilege that I have as a priest in the Church of England is trying to bring comfort where there is loss and helping people to see that as tragic as it is to lose those whom we love, we have a hope that goes beyond all of this. But we need to understand too that hope begins in this life, right now, right here, and with Jesus at this point. And so let us, in our prayers today, as we give thanks for the risen Lord Jesus, let's embrace him afresh for ourselves. Because he wants us to enjoy all the benefits that are around of knowing that he is with us. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray.